This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just about 6:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We are back with the second installment of our Merdeka specials. In the lead up to the 31st of August, we're speaking with Malaysians who have created works that document our experiences, look at the country we live in, and explore how they feel about our homeland. So on Monday, we spoke with Erica Ng, a 22-year-old Malaysian who won an Eisner Award for her webcomic Fried Rice, and she shared her coming-of-age story about finding herself as an artist and the simple things that she loves about Malaysia. You can check out our chat with her by searching for Homesick for Fried Rice on BFM.my, our app, or of course on Spotify. So today, we're actually going to be speaking to the creator of a familiar pair of twins on our TV screens. I'm talking, of course, about Haji Burhanuddin Razzi, the man behind Upin and Ipin. Together with his wife, Haja Ainun Arif, he embarked on a project that would take Malaysia's animation industry to new heights. So for a bit of background, initially, Upin and Ipin started off as 5-minute shorts for a Ramadan series in 2007 on local TV. And now, of course, it is a full television series screened in over 17 countries. It's won several international awards. It was even nominated for an Oscar earlier this year. But at the heart of its fame and success, the premise of the series remains really simple. It's two twins who exemplify good values for young Malaysians to follow. And I think it's that good value that I want to focus on, because as a country, we have been through it this year and through a lot of big issues. I mean, COVID-19, the economy, politics. And through all of that, I think it's nice to have a reminder about the small things that matter and also the small things that make us Malaysians, that make Malaysia our home. And perhaps I think it's these small things, small but very important, that Upin and Ipin remind us of, you know, these things about how we treat each other, how we respect our elders, how morals, you know, can be an important central thing to hold on to. So in light of that, we're going to be speaking after this with, you know, Haji Burhanuddin Razzi to get a peek into the world of Upin and Ipin and their place in modern Malaysia. That is coming your way right after this. In the meantime, though, if you have any comments, anything that you'd like to share, any thoughts about Upin and Ipin, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9. The business station.
It's 6:12 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn now as our Merdeka series, or rather as the second installment in our series of conversations leading up to Merdeka. I am really pleased to be joined on the line by Haji Burhanuddin Razzi, the creator of Upin and Ipin. Haji, thank you so much for joining us this evening. So you created Upin and Ipin together with your wife, Haja Ainun Arif, back in 2007. What inspired you to begin this project?
Yeah, actually, I just get out from oil and gas business. So at that time, 2005, the government is pushing for animation. I saw it's an opportunity, and there's abundant talent from local university in animation. So I recruited them. That's when we started our company, Lekopa. It actually come from the word last copy. We French it so that it can sound global. So we wanted to have original animation. My wife wanted product which promote our culture and have good moral values, because this is going to be watched by children. It have to be something that they can emulate, come up with a good moral for them, so that they can be a good citizen later on. So the initial project, basically, we wanted to do film. We developed a story or that the film is called Gang Pengembaraan Bermula. In that film, my team created two twins with ball head. Ball head, basically, they want to save on rendering process. After a year, thereon, I have the opportunity to present my trailer to TV9 CEO. And he liked it. And he said, why don't you make content for Ramadan? So I came back, I told my team, let's take out the twins and we make a short story for Ramadan. In the end, I had to write with my wife. My wife has a natural talent in making stories. So that's how we started. In 2007, we produced 6 episodes of Upin Ipin. Upin Ipin, the name basically comes from the word you and I, and we put pin at the back. When we launched it on TV9, it became a hit because Malaysians have not seen local product like that. The story is quite catchy and they like it, and it's a bit Islamic, and the animation is quite smooth for local standard.
And is it based on a real story?
So my wife never lived in kampong, only me living in kampong. So I'm the one who gave her the story. But she have the ability to write a screenplay, which is very beautiful, for whatever story I give her. So it doesn't refer to anybody, but part of it is my life when I was small. It doesn't have a particular reference to anybody. It's just my experience when I was small, how the children playing. Until now, we're going to do any story, but we ask the staff, what's your experience when you are young? So we just pick up the story and we write, we make it into animation.
Hmm. And you touched on how your wife and creative content director, Haja Ainun Arif, wanted the twins to embody certain morals. Can we delve into those morals a little bit more?
Moral values, it encompasses this huge area. Because we live in Malaysia, we know what is good, what is bad. I have children that we go, we observe certain things. You respect for your elders, how you behave on the table during dining or lunch, how you mix with your families, how you mix with other people. That's the thing we want to portray to the children. But we strictly don't allow Upin Ipin to give advice how to do good thing or that. They have to show good moral values for the children to emulate. That's why we have other characters like Opa, who always give advice, Tok Dalang, the elders, Kak Ros, all that, who teach the children, this you cannot do, this you can do, all that.
And do you think that the characters have evolved over the years, or are they pretty much the same?
Yeah, some of them have changed. The parents now have changed a lot from previously. But we try to maintain the custom, the Malay custom or the Malaysian custom, because inside Upin Ipin, they have other races also. So how they behave, how they mix between races, how they respect their parents, how they respect other parents. So all these things, we try to inculcate all these good values.
And can you talk to us about how the show has been received abroad, internationally?
I think among Malaysian animation studio, we are the most successful. We hit Indonesia in 2010 and become a very, very big hit. Until now, I think the last 4 or 5 years, we are the top animation series in Indonesia. Almost anywhere you go from in Indonesia, everybody knows about Upin Ipin. And it's not only watched by the children, but the adults also watching it, because when they met me, they can relate all some of the episodes that they have watched in detail. So that's a big influence to them. Apart from that, we sold Upin Ipin on Disney Channel Asia. So it covered 14 territories in South Asia. And last 2 years, we sold it to Disney India. When it hit India last year, we were number 9, if I'm not mistaken. But this year, we are ranked number 3 animation program on Disney Channel India. In Netflix, so it's shown in North America and all over the world. There are a few TV stations that bought it from South Korea, from Turkey, all that. But the biggest coverage is obviously on YouTube. All over the world, people are watching Upin Ipin. And I think in Malaysia, our YouTube channel is the highest, it's 10 million. We just got Diamond Award. And we have 4 billion views on our YouTube channel.
And just to kind of continue that line on international audiences, how do they react or engage with the way Malaysia is portrayed in the show?
They like it, especially from overseas, from US, from Japan, all that. They value the cultures. It's similar to Doraemon, but it's more real. The story is about real life for us. So we do get, judging from the comment on YouTube last time, we do receive comment from all over the world. And basically, they like it. For example, when we have a carnival, we set up the Rumah Opa, the real Rumah Opa, is a mock in our carnival. We do have people from Singapore saying that, well, it's very nice. We have not seen this kind of house because they live in flats. So these are the things. They like the kampung style. To me, it doesn't matter whether it's kampung or in the city. Only what we are telling is the story is about a universal story. The only thing is the setup is only in the kampung. It's not a kampung story even.
And moving forward then, what are your plans for Upin and Ipin?
We have managed to make it very, very big. But animation business is not about producing a series or a film. We have to be a lot more. It's about the use of IP to create business. You can create merchandising, you can create theme, restaurant. But of course, the big one is definitely the theme park. That's the ultimate for all animation which involves in IP creation. And they wanted to see their own theme park with their own IPs. That's what we are chasing. But the problem, you don't have the money. You have to find who's going to fund it. But when you go and approach the GLC, all that, to fund it, I believe their head is being... It's not free, not Merdeka anymore. They still believe that foreign IP is still superior than the local IP. But they don't realize that once you bring the foreign IPs and make a theme park in Malaysia, the children, when they go there, they cannot relate. So you don't have a repeat customer, you repeat visitors. So if we don't have repeat visitors, the theme park will die because they cannot generate enough income. And somehow, if you take a foreign IPs, the franchise fees is very, very expensive. So most of the foreign IPs, theme park that we have now, is dying because they don't have enough income. So we're trying to build our theme park. Hopefully by next year, we'll have our theme park in JB.
And just, I guess, looking or turning it back to the show, do you think we might end up seeing a more diverse set of characters in the near future, maybe characters that kind of speak to different segments of Malaysian society?
I think on Upin Ipin series, we already have enough diverse characters. And each character, there are a lot of followers. We are Chinese, like maybe white. Last time we have Indian, but the problem we cannot get. Very difficult for us to get Indian boy to do the voice acting. That's why we dropped Raju. Last time we have a very good voice actor, but the problem is when you use children after certain years, the voice change, become adult, so you can do it. So to find a replacement is very difficult for us. But it depends. It depends on time. If we get a good voice actor, maybe we can create a character. If we cannot get anybody, then we don't have a character. So it depends on how the story we want to develop. Like we have Indonesian characters in Upin Ipin because we have a big fan in Indonesia. So we created Susanti. So all these characters, when we develop, it depends on the need and demand.
And, you know, Haji, we're speaking to you very close now to Merdeka. And in celebration of our independence, maybe you could tell us, what does Merdeka symbolize for you?
Yeah, Merdeka means that we are free from being governed by other people, not native to the country. And not only that, we should be free to set up our own culture, our own system of government, all that, without somebody else controlling it. and also our mind. Because although we say we are Merdeka, but I see a lot of young people, they are not really Merdeka. They still adopt the thought that a foreign culture or foreign thing are always good. But they don't value the local product. In that, your mind is being, well, this is not Merdeka.
Haji, thank you so much for those thoughts and for sharing Upin and Ipin with us. That was Haji Burhanuddin Radzi, the creator of Upin and Ipin. And that was the second in our three Merdeka conversations, all about Malaysians who are creating work that look back on, that celebrate, that study the country that we live in. If you have any thoughts on Upin and Ipin, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have a message here from Jackie, who says, it's amazing the influence of Upin Ipin in Indonesia. Toilet is kamar kecil, but because of Upin and Ipin, kids there started calling the toilet tandas. Grandfather in Indonesian is kakek, and kids started calling atok. So yeah, that's what you get, I think, when you manage to export something that is inherently ours abroad, and you get to see this kind of spread. We also have a more business-focused question from Zaidi, which is about whether or not there are plans to list the company on Bursa Malaysia. Zaidi, sorry, I didn't see that in time, but we will maybe put it to Haji and get back to you. In the meantime, though, keep those questions and thoughts coming. If you have anything that you'd like to share about Upin and Ipin, if you watch it, you can let us know. That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.